It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It's been a very eventful weekend in sports. And even though the Winter Olympics opened in Sochi, Russia, the big headlines, the jarring news has actually been made closer to home and away from the field. I'm joined now by Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorak. His video blog is called Sportsnet. Bob Dvorak, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, Paul, good to be here. You must be talking about the Beatles anniversary.
That was certainly something that we focused on over the weekend. But we have spoken in the past about gay athletes and how 99% of them remain closeted at the major college and professional level. And there has never been an openly gay athlete in professional football. But this weekend, Missouri All-American defensive lineman Michael Sam announced that he is gay, that he is proud of it, and that he plans to be the first openly gay athlete to play in the NFL. From a social impact standpoint, Bob, just how earth-shattering is this development?
Oh, it's a pretty bold move. I mean, we knew it was coming, but to be the first carries a historic content. So, yeah, whenever you're first and you're the pioneer, nobody knows what's going to happen yet. But it's time just to, you know, admit the obvious and move on to get about the business of playing sports.
When you say that we knew it was coming, how did we know this? What signs were there that someone was going to say, I'm going to be that first athlete, I am going to embrace my own sexuality, in this case homosexuality, and make myself available for the NFL draft and not wait till later, but do it right now before a team has even chosen me?
Yeah, you saw indications when the NBA player came out, and, you know, of course, in other sports, there are people who come out, and, you know, what's the big deal? It's like, you know, Billie Jean King came out years ago. So it has nothing to do with your athletic ability in that athletic arena. So, you know, but then again, I'm no, you know, let's not be naive. There are these national feelings, homophobia, of course, and some opposition. This isn't going to be easy, but it was never going to be easy for a young man anyway. I mean, if you're a rookie playing in the NFL, you got to, you know, fight for your acceptance. That's part of that culture, too. So how that plays into it, we don't know.
And I guess the difference here is you mentioned the NBA player, NBA center Jason Collins, the first openly gay athlete in any major American sport. But he was, you know, he's well into his 30s. He's at a later stage of his career after he's already been established as a professional athlete. Billie Jean King won numerous championships and was a Hall of Famer who, you know, did so after her playing career was over. But here, in this case, Mr. Sam is projected to be an early-round draft pick in April, which means that he is due for what would normally be a pretty hefty payday. Is there a chance, Bob, that some teams might shy away from him because of this? He's doing something that would seem to be a lot more risky than what the other athletes that you mentioned have done.
Oh, correct. And that's what makes this so different, Paul. That's what makes it so historic, because he's announcing at the beginning and saying, look, here I am, this is who I am, and I want to play football. Now, here's the NFL. What litmus test is this for the NFL and how far it's come? And, frankly, to answer your question, it's not a theoretical. It's going to cost him a couple of slots down in the draft order. Teams don't want to embrace any kind of controversy. You know, they tend to shy away from that kind of stuff. But you know, I think they're also realists that at some point, because he's the first one to say it, do you think anybody really thinks that he's the only one in the NFL right now, even? You know, sports is a microcosm of society, not, you know, some deified aspect of it. If it exists in society, it exists in professional sports.
But is the NFL behind society? Is there, if not outright anti-gay sentiment among some, is there almost like the Bill Clinton-esque don't ask, don't tell thing going on here, where You know, it's okay if you are gay. Just don't talk about it. Don't draw any attention to yourself because the NFL is skittish about stuff like this.
True. You know, but here's the conflict here. The young man says, I want to control my own story. I want to control my own history. Here is what I wanted to say. Okay? You got to give him props for that. Whereas on the other side, he says, you know, hey, you know, just tone it down. We don't care. Just play football for us because at the end, it's all about winning games. I mean, teams draft players because they think they can help them win. So interesting confluence of events here with the NFL culture. Of course, we've seen that with Richie Cognito, the Dolphins, and the locker room mentality and the machismo that goes on and, to some extent, bullying, let's face it. So, you know, there's a lot going on there.
And at the end of the day, is this about a controversy? Is this really a controversial thing, or is it simply something that will create a media circus that, if not the league, that teams will not want to deal with?
Right. I don't know. The media reaction is probably just going to be like a yawn, I would think. But fan reaction, that's a different thing to gauge. I mean, you know, there is that segment in sports that's never going to accept that. It doesn't think it's proper in a male locker room. I mean, you know, that's where they're coming from on this kind of stuff. So fan reaction and player acceptance, no one can say right now. But totally different scenario. But when you know, say like the United States Armed Forces. Were forced to desegregate, and they weren't just single black units. They were in the ranks just like everybody else, and it was like they all woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning and went to work the next day, too. So and that's the way it is.
We're talking with Bob Dvorak. He is sports writer emeritus for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Bob, another story that emerged last week, Steelers defensive back Ryan Clark said NFL players smoke marijuana, including some of his Steelers teammates, and that it's easy to pass the league's drug test for marijuana. Is this a big deal? What is the NFL's policy?
I'm shocked to hear that NFL players smoke weed because they get banged up during games and it helps them recover. Wow. I mean, seriously, I mean, does anybody believe that it doesn't happen? Remember Charles Barkley talking about the NBA players, 10 years ago, that 75% of the players in the NBA choose marijuana as their drug of choice. I mean, you know, it's out there. So, but is it possible in this country to have an intelligent conversation about the merits or risks or whatever it is you feel about marijuana, to have that discussion? It's never going to happen. It can't happen. It's too politicized the subject.
Well, might the NFL, if players, as some are saying, can use marijuana as a way of avoiding drugs perceived to have harmful side effects, painkillers like Vicodin, if this keeps them off of those things, might the NFL take a second look, reevaluate it?
Canada has medical marijuana. How many states have medical marijuana? Colorado and the state of Washington have recreational marijuana. I mean, you know, it's not the 60s, but the conversation is the same. It's like the same conversation we had in the 60s. Are there actual benefits to using this? And is it better than some of the other alternatives because it's a herb that grows in the ground? It's I just wish we could have an intelligent conversation about a subject like this.
One last topic I wanted to...
I want to also say, Paul, that, you know, it's illegal. I know it. I don't condone its use. And some people say that smoking marijuana impairs short-term memory, and I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay.
It's a Cheech and Chong routine, for God's sake.
I feel like I'm talking to David Letterman here. All right, one last thing. We have a minute left, but the Penguins got some shocking news this week.
Yeah.
Chris Letang, all-star defenseman, suffered a stroke. This is a very healthy young man in his 20s. I think he's 26.
Mm-hmm.
Not considered to be career-threatening, but what can you tell us about this?
Yeah, I know. That's the sports terminology, right? Somebody's on the disabled list with an upper body injury. He's got the stroke thing going on. You know, what? How do you list that? But, no, seriously, that was a shock. And there's a history of stroke in my family, so I'm sympathetic to you know, hearing the news that, you know, there was something wrong in his circulatory system and the blood clot went to his brain. It was incredible, and he's 26. However, I think if it raises awareness, Paul, because the doctors have said it's hard to spot unless you're looking for it, I think maybe this will help them take a second look at some guys. Hopefully, you know, thank God he doesn't appear to be damaged permanently. It's going to take him some time to recover. And they may even be able to play again and recover a full life. I think that's the hope we all have.
Bob Dvorak is Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus and our sports guy. Thank you, Bob.
Hey, Paul, thank you. Curling this morning was just hair-raising. I mean, gosh, you know, to talk about drama.
We'll have a story on that coming up.
Yeah.
We need to make way for more from Mark and Helen, and I'll be back tomorrow. Paul Guggenheimer saying so long for now.